Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Yeah, I love that podcast show. Oh, BS and beer is the place to go to get all the Saints news. Hell yeah! Podcast show. Na 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 na. Hey! Gotta love that podcast show. Na na.
Now, recording live, it's the BS and Beer Podcast crew with your host, David Romero.
Welcome in another week. It's another edition of the BS and Beer Podcast crew recording live, wall-to-wall New Orleans Saints football talk from our studios at the Meat House. With me today, I have Craig Wright. I have Dell Mims on the heels of New Orleans beating Carolina in another defensive struggle. We thought we might be able to get a win another week without scoring a touchdown, although we ended up scoring a touchdown and kind of ruined that, but it would have been cool. But anyway, now we set it up, the playoffs. The Saints win, San Francisco loses, the Saints are in the playoffs, and boy, we need to talk about it. We need to break it down. So grab a drink, sit back, and relax, because for the next hour or so, we're going to be talking New Orleans Saints football, BS and beer style.
Hey, folks. All right, listen. I'm so not in the mood for you guys. You're blabbering on and on, okay? And it's enough, all right? It's enough. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, today's Monday, all right? So stop doing your stupid radio thing. And if you want to pick up where you left off tomorrow, at least it'll be Tuesday, all right? So just keep it down. Actually, don't keep it anything. Just stop, okay? Just stop doing what you're doing.
I'll start off with you, Craig. It's been a roller coaster season. I mean, no other way to say it. The adversity. We have the potential to make the playoffs. And matter of fact, I would say potentials. I think the Saints should beat Atlanta. Atlanta has nothing to play for, although that doesn't always apply in those divisional games and rivalry. But then you also have the 49ers with their backup quarterback playing against the Rams, who now it's arguable that they need to win to keep their seeding. So what do you think how this plays out?
You know, for our older listeners, this reminds me a lot. I think this was probably 2003, 2004. It was right before the era of us being good at football. But there was a season where us, the Rams, and the Vikings all ended up 8-8. And two of the three of us got in, and we had beaten the Rams and we had beaten the Vikings. So we had head-to-head wins against the other two teams. And because of some obscure conference record, those two got in and we didn't.
Let me tell you how it worked. And this is, it aggravated me. The first tiebreaker is head-to-head. So since the Saints had head-to-head, you'd say, well, we got head-to-head against both of them. So that, but they say, no, if you don't have, it's not definitive, then it moves on to the next thing. And I specifically remember that. It was heartbreaking. It was heartbreaking.
There's a large hole in the door of the house we were living in at the time because of that decision. yeah, it's just one of this another chapter of what is the most absurd football season that I can remember. I mean, we're going, we had the hurricane, we got COVID, we got injuries, we got coach suspensions, we got coaches out for this, we got players suspended, we got, and still, we don't have a losing record. We're right there. We are a very conceivable scenario away from the playoffs. And we got the kind of defense that could potentially do something if we get there. It's one of those things we could just as easily go on a run, win a playoff game, or just fall apart, lose to Atlanta and end our season on the worst possible note. So, I mean, how do you predict what's going to happen this year? We weren't going to do that to Green Bay week one. And then we weren't going to lose to the Giants at home. So we whatever we're supposed to do, we're going to do the opposite. Just take, if you're going to Vegas, put your money on something, pick what you think is going to happen and bet against it.
Well, one of the things I pointed out, and I think this is just illustrates what you're talking about, Craig, is that you don't know because there's at this point, at least in my opinion, on offense, there are too many variables that you can't count on. So I use this analogy, and it's not necessarily true per se. It's just the point is, okay, we drop back to pass. You have You have receivers that aren't great, so they're not guaranteed to get open. You have an offensive line that's banged up, so they're not guaranteed to make all the blocks. And you have a quarterback that's inconsistent, not that accurate. So you drop back to pass, so many different things could go wrong. And not that they will, but it's just in years past, you had more consistency at every position on offense. Dale, you don't have a Drew Brees. You don't have, Carl Nix or even, Armstead and Ramchek. You have a whole different group of guys, and you just don't know at any time. You two of the three things can work, and the third one goes wrong, and you're giving up a pick six, or you're giving up a strip sack or something. And that, to me, more than having all the injuries, is the issue, is just the inconsistency, and you don't know what you're going to get.
I mean, when you don't have your real players, you don't really have a whole lot of room for error. You pretty much got to play perfect. I was surprised, to see we let them kind of outgain us as far as time possession. It was pretty even, but they still got 30 minutes to our 29 minutes. And I would think that part is going to be really important for the defense, because they have so much on them that they have to keep the other team from scoring and putting up points, man. Like, it's so important because we can't put up a lot of points on offense.
Right. The margin of error is so small that early in that game, they scored early, and you start thinking to yourself, if one slip, one guy misses a tackle, one of those things like Marcus Williams has where you let that guy get too far down the sideline, you don't get the right angle, and the game's over, because this team, Craig, is just not capable of scoring consistently. But the defense is incredible. So here's the problem. When you get up against those playoff teams, are you going to be able to shut them down or keep them to three field goals? How are you going to do it? I mean, because that's the only way the Saints can win. Now, is it inconceivable? I don't like to talk about exceptions. Is it possible Taysom hits Harris, long play, touchdown? I just don't see how this offense consistently scores enough that the defense doesn't have to worry about it. The defense has to bring their A game the rest of the way out.
I mean, absolutely. I mean, everything we do from here on out is based on the defense. I mean, we scored offensively one touchdown the last three games and went 2-1 in those three games.
that's
just absurd.
That's impressive. It's absurd.
It's absurd. And especially as Saints fans, where for years, we were watching games where we had to score 40 or we lost. 35 wasn't enough because I knew our defense would just get run right through. And now it's the opposite. Now you get to 20 and you think you got a chance. That's how it's going to be going forward. And this is, we were talking about this before the show. That's kind of echoes those old Giants teams from the Eli Manning years with Michael Strahan and Tuck and all those guys, where they'd limp into the playoffs, their defense would get hot, and they'd make something happen.
Yeah. So the guy who seems to be getting hot and making things happen, Cam Jordan, Dale, am I wrong? Three and a half sacks for a guy that for the last, not just this year, but for last year and this year, people were talking about this might be it for Cam. He's going to probably not the end of his career, but he's going to have to find another team to play for. Now it seems like he's rejuvenated.
Yeah. I was thinking, it was going to be like an ugly kind of breakup and everything, because he was just declining and declining. Like, we got to do something. And the guy comes back from COVID. He shot out of a cannon. In my fantasy league, look, the guy put up 30 points. It was amazing. So yeah, man, Cam Jordan, props to whatever you're doing. I'm starting to think they're rotating him out a little bit more. And so maybe that's helping him, because he played so many snaps years before, like just consecutive snaps. And so maybe rotating him out is keeping him fresher. And that's what's helping him.
Well, I mean, it always helps somebody when, especially defensive players. And I've always been concerned about how many snaps he plays, because he's an Iron Man. He's always healthy, knock on wood, always healthy, always ready to play. But the problem is that because of that, he ends up getting so many snaps, and it concerns me that it does take, I don't care who you are, it takes plays off of your career. And I kept waiting for the Saints to be more restrictive with his playing time, with his snaps, but it didn't seem like they have. And I mean, he gets 1 week off, and all of a sudden, I mean, there was one play in particular where he came around the corner, and I just immediately thought to myself, they had Davenport yes. playing the left defensive end because he just came around too quick and too fast. And, and by the time he straightened up, I saw 94, and I was like, oh my gosh, right. He is a new player. But Cam Jordan, Craig, I mean, he's changing the defense because, you know, listen, what came first, the chicken or the egg? Davenport's been disruptive. He's making plays. He's being much more consistent. Now, all of a sudden, is Jordan making him better? They obviously making each other better. And that's basically what Jordan said after the game in the press conference.
Yeah. I mean, it feeds each other, you know, the secondary's playing pretty well lately. You know, the rookie Adebo is playing well. Roby's playing good. Marshawn Lattimore thinks he's playing Evans every week. So he's showing right. up now.
Yes.
So as soon as they have that extra second to get home, they're starting to get home. And now you got guys like Onyemata and Davenport who are playing very well. You can't slide extra protection over to Jordan. As soon as you put him one-on-one, he's going to look a lot younger because he's got a lot better chance. And the Saints have been trying to limit his snaps. I mean, we drafted, you know, Davenport with 2 first round picks, and we drafted a Peyton Turner, my guy, who played 13 minutes this year with a first round pick. We're trying to get him help and to set up his succession. And, you know, it hasn't worked thus far, but all we got to do is apparently get him sick every few weeks and get him rejuvenated.
Yeah.
Cam was saying, you know, the return of all the other defensive linemen has really, you know, helped them out because, you know, you can't double or triple team them and all of that. So, I mean, I did notice, a lot of plays coming from Onyemata's way as well. So yeah, he's got a point, you know, the other guys there.
Well, Onyemata's another guy. It was so beastly last year and you saw it building to that. And so I think coming in, I think we all thought that, boy, as soon as he gets past his suspension, he's just going to be a wrecking ball. And quite frankly, you know, he hasn't. It's not that he's not strong against the run. It's not that he's not getting pushed, but you expect wrecking ball. You expect yes. someone who's just disruptive inside and you can't block him. And now I think we're starting to see that more often. But at the same time, the way the Saints offense affects the way the Saints play defense as well. Because again, you have so many 3-and-outs, you're punting. You're putting the defense right back on the field. And I think that at some point, the Saints obviously need to have more consistent offense. Even if they're not scoring, they need to get a couple of first downs where they at least given the defense a chance to rest. Now, we're in good hands with the punting situation, the special teams. So we're still getting a long field. Everything's working out except for I think you just need to find a way. And this is assuming like, okay, ideally, yeah, we want to score a bunch of points, but if we can't score a bunch of points, we got to at least get some first downs. And boy, as I'm talking, my, how the mighty have fallen, Craig. I mean, basically what I'm saying here is, you know, we got to find a way to scrape something together that has some similarity to an offense in order to help the defense out. And I'm not talking necessarily about this week against Atlanta. If we look, we get in the playoffs and the whole goal is just to shock somebody, you know, listen, a realistic chance to make the Super Bowl. I don't think so. But to beat somebody and come out of there saying, look at us, and have some bragging rights going into the offseason, it's going to be hard if that offense can't put it together.
Yeah. Is it safe to say that our offense now is what our defense was 10 years ago?
So we just traded our offense off. Is what Drew Brees had to put up with.
Yeah. We went from, you know, 2011 scoring 40 points a game and giving up 38 to now we score 13, but we give up 10.
Yeah.
It is infuriating to be a Saints fan, I gotta say.
So which one's more fun?
The scoring the points and losing 44 to 42, I think is probably more fun, right?
Yeah. It was definitely less frustrating,
less irritating.
Yeah. And I mean, okay. So you mentioned the old school days, man. And I think you kind of forget the Moore era when you said, when we learned how to play football back in those days, I literally was excited about the defense coming on the field to just see what they were going to do, who they're going to, you know, blast, who are they going to sack, who are they going to. And now I'm getting to that point where, you know, one of my favorite players, Davenport, I love the way he plays, and I can't wait to see him out there to see who he's going to run over. Because quite frankly, on offense, man, we're going to move on because I think I'm spending too much time talking about that, but it's a problem. It's something that needs to be addressed. but I do have these visions. I sent y'all a message this morning. I boast myself to be objective, but I started having some fantasies running through my head about getting in the playoffs, and all of a sudden Harris and Smith and Callaway start making plays, and you know, hypothetically, I don't know if it's going to happen, but you get Armstead back, Ramczyk back, and now, you know, you get a little offense going, and next thing you know, we're making a big run, and you know, then I woke up, but I'm still excited about it. So the thoughts are there. So all this stuff that we're doing, all these things we accomplished, all the adversity, really, that's what I should have said first, all the adversity we overcame, what is our gauge of success? I'm going to start with you, Dale. What is success to you?
Dave,
A successful season.
I'm going to take that ride with you, Dave, because, look, I'm having visions of Marquez Callaway catching a touchdown in the Super Bowl with his helmet.
Oh, okay? Nice. Up against the helmet there. I see where you're going with this.
Yeah, let's just go all the way out there, Dave.
Pick all the highlights from all the games. I feel you, Dale.
What we doing, Dave? That's what we doing.
All right, Craig, you still didn't give me an answer, Dale, so I'm going to let you recover from your jokes, and I want to come back and get an answer. What defines a successful season for you, Craig?
For me, it's making the playoffs. It's getting that extra game. I mean, any chance to get to the dance is all you need. I mean, you can't win the Super Bowl if you don't make the playoffs. Whether, you know, we've been the one seed and choked it away. We've been division champs 4 years in a row. We just got to get in. We just got to get a ticket to the dance. It's all that matters. All a successful season is getting a chance to win. And but that's what we're trying to get.
You kind of make a good point. Because I mean, how many times did we have the number one seed? We didn't get to the Super Bowl. How many times were we division champs and we lost in the first round? What would make this any different? Why should we go into this game with lower expectations? I just go in to play football, and you never know. All those teams who beat us when we were higher seeds, their fans probably didn't think they had a shot at that high powered Saints offense led by a Hall of Fame quarterback, and they did it. And so,
I mean, yeah, I'm not trying to get ahead of anything right now. We got to beat Atlanta.
Come on, Craig. I'm trying
to
get
you riled up. We need San Francisco to lose, but our path to the Super Bowl would be the Rams with a quarterback who loves throwing interceptions and has for the last 10 years. And the Rams are capable of losing a game at any time.
Except for next week against the 49ers. Is that what you meant to say?
No, I'm talking. They're going to take care of that one. We're going to skip that one for a second. Yeah. The Rams can lose any game. We get past them, we go to Green Bay, who scored 3 points on us this year. We get past them, we get Tampa Bay again. We have shut out Tampa Bay and have beaten them 4 consecutive regular season times. And we should have beat them in the playoffs last year. I mean, is it insane to say, like, hey, we beat them before. We beat them this year. We beat them this year. These guys we can beat. All we got to do is get in. Anything can happen. We get in. We might get embarrassed week one, and we might shock the world.
Seattle shocked us that year. You know, nobody saw that coming.
Listen, Dale, the Saints have overcome more adversity than Pharaoh back in Egypt when Moses was around.
Hmm.
And Dale, and Craig says that they have to win and get in, or they have to get in the playoffs to be a successful season. I would say right now, the Saints, a successful season with the adversity that we faced. Go ahead and just agree with me. I'm not even going to ask the question, man. You want to agree with me, or you want to take Craig's side?
That's true. I will definitely agree with that, because it's just been the JV team, and then we had the Pee Wee team. Like, I mean, we really have had.
I mean, we had the COVID thing, and then we had and week two we lost all the coaches. We had the hurricane displacement.
Absolutely.
I'm talking coach of the year for Coach Payton. I know that they don't do it now. Did you know this? That when they do the selections for Hall of Fame, they literally have a representative go into a room with all the voters and pitch. Like a marketing company, pitch their guy, yes. You know? So if it was Dale, it's like Dale did this, Dale did that. And you didn't even know that year that he did this, that he had a broken leg and, you know, all these things. And they try to sell their guy. That doesn't happen for these awards.
No,
but I feel like if someone got a chance to stand in front of the voters and actually point out all the adversity, the illnesses, the COVID, the hurricane, the displacement, the injuries, the playing with 3 different quarterbacks, the all-time record for most starters. Now, understand what that means. If you have these starters, that means that, you know, it's like it's not – sometimes you have a starter who gets replaced by a better player or something like that. But usually when a starter gets replaced, more times than not, it's because he got injured. And so we have, and we still have a game to, or a week to go. And we set the record all time for the most starters in a season. So I see coach of the year here. Now, I'm not saying it'll happen, but that's what I see.
I absolutely agree with that. I want to say it's like we've had 57 different.
Yep, it's
different
57. Starters. That's the number.
Yes, it's that's insane. And for you to be in playoff contention at the end of the year, like, man, that's great. You know, I see that the game got flexed to 3:25.
Oh, did it?
Sunday, yeah.
You make it at the same time as the Frisco game.
Right, right. So, but yeah, the game is important because look, it's Atlanta. Screw Atlanta. All right, I want to beat Atlanta. Okay, we cannot drop two games to Atlanta. Like, it cannot happen.
Okay, so let's see. We have Hill. I was making a point, and this wasn't even something I wrote down, but I'm sitting here trying to figure out how I'm gonna pose this question, and we can kind of start. I leaned into it a little bit, and then we started the show. So the question was about, look at who we lost. We just mentioned it. We lost Jameis Winston. Sorry. So is Taysom Hill better suited, Craig, to be the starter for a Saints team with a decimated offensive line and lack of skill players than a better quarterback might be that maybe isn't as tough or isn't as durable, isn't as capable of running? How do you see that?
So I don't necessarily agree. I think your better players are your better players. But with the caveat of with the less weapons, I think if you're talking about the receivers being trash and losing all these running backs and whatnot, I still think that you're going to want to have the more accurate and better passer. The biggest difference for me is with the offensive line, the way it is, because Jameis Winston was showing a good ability to scramble, but running for your life is going to come into play. It did last week, and it's going to come up again this week. So I don't agree that he's better suited to play with the banged up team than Winston would have been. But he does have attributes that can kind of salvage the situation a little bit. But no, I go better player every time.
So Dale, let me get your thoughts. Is he have the skill set that's better suited to play with the current team that's on the field than a Jameis Winston would?
I wish I knew what Taysom does at the line of scrimmage. Like, is he calling protections? Because I'd be able to answer that very clearly then, because I mean, yeah, his scrambling ability is able to get out the pocket, get himself out of trouble, just create on his own. I mean, that's a great weapon to have. But so if he is calling these line calls, absolutely the answer is yes. Because I don't know if Simeon was really able to do that effectively. Definitely the rookie book was not able to do that effectively because he was getting killed all night.
So I feel like I need to apologize and admit, I love to admit when I'm wrong or when I do something silly. And I made the comment probably on the show. I don't remember what I say when. And I said that it can't be any worse. If Taysom's not playing and Book's in there, it can't be any worse. And I think that and I think that I do honestly have a whole new appreciation for what Hill can do. Now, listen, in no way do I feel like he's an heir apparent. Do I think he's a guy we need to go with? I have appreciated him for him on a different level in the sense that, and I've already said this. And so my point is my position's not changing much so much as I want to say, you know, the guy can play and the guy can play quarterback. He just can't play it at a consistently high enough level for my satisfaction to be a Saints quarterback. And I don't know if he would be good enough for any team. But if you look at this, you have a playmaker who can also play quarterback and has shown he can play through a lot of adversity. What better situation could you have than you have this playmaker and all of a sudden your starter goes down for 4 weeks? And, you know, I get that he may not be able to play that week because he's working on other positions. But the following week, you have 3 weeks with a guy that can tough it out and grind it out for you. Now he has even more experience. And I want to say something else on his behalf, because I have been very hard on him. He seems to have improved in two key areas from my perspective. One of them is turning the ball over. He's seemed to, and I'm knocking on wood as we speak.
Yeah.
He's turned the ball over considerably less. And B, now I'm also, as I was going to B, I remember two specific interceptions that hit guys in the hands and got dropped over the last several games. But the point is that, hey, sometimes you win, sometimes you lose.
True.
B is that he seems to have figured out how to run quicker, meaning he doesn't stand in the pocket and then wait till everything collapses. I'm not saying he's perfect at it, but I feel like he has shown more decisiveness. Take your first look, take your second look and run. You know, like he's not going to be a five read guy, four read guy. He's going to get the ball, take a look, maybe go to a second guy, then take off and run. And I've seen him be much more productive at that. In the past, it kind of felt like he ran into tacklers. It felt like he waited too long to go. There was opportunities. So he has shown improvement in a lot of areas, not necessarily in his accuracy, because in the game, Callaway dropped balls right in his hands, but then he made some great catches on balls that were like not at the waist. I'm talking about balls that are off his shoestrings, balls that were over his head. And that has to improve too.
Is he the 32nd best quarterback in the league?
But, and that's a good point, right? And two, unlike any other backup quarterback, he'll come in and he can play some running back for you. He can play some wide receiver for you. He can play some tight end for you. And that's just extremely valuable. It's you really can't ask for much. Now, we have to at some point evaluate when it becomes real how much he's actually making to do those things.
Oh, yeah,
but until we know that, you know, I look at it and say, man, I mean, he's a very valuable asset to the team. Okay, I'm have a little fun with you. I'm going to start with Craig. We started in this text message, and there's been a lot of chatter. And I don't want anybody listening to this show think that any of this is, you know, actually something that I take seriously. But there's been a lot of chatter all over the internet about Baker Mayfield. So now the question is, Craig, all things being equal, salary cap, no compensation, meaning no trades or anything like that. You have a choice in the offseason to bring back Jameis Winston or bring in Baker Mayfield. Who are you picking and why?
So coming out of college, I was a big fan of Baker Mayfield. I really thought we could have tried to push up in the draft and make that the heir apparent, you know, the whole Bayou Baker hashtag and everything like that. There is no way I pick Baker over Jameis Winston. They came out of, think about it, the comparison. They have a lot of things in common, right? Very productive college careers. I believe they both have Heisman trophies come out, except that one has thrown for 5,000 yards and succeeded at this level, and the other one has not. All things equal, yeah, Winston every time. I'm not sure I pick Baker over Taysom Hill at this point.
Well, that
Taysom
was the
Hill
next
wins games.
Why are you jumping ahead to my next question, man? So, but I you know, go ahead. Tell us about it. Hill.
Look, if we're talking about stats, then the most important stat for a starting quarterback.
Do not say it.
I'm going to say that the most important stat
completion percentage?
Win column.
Oh, God.
Taysom Hill is 6-2 as a starting quarterback over the last two seasons.
Can't argue with that.
Okay.
Multiply that over a full season. What is that? 12-4. Then you're going down the home stretch.
Okay. So you really want to have this conversation because you're saying this like you're serious. I always thought you were kidding when you say that.
Well, you know, luckily he played real bad teams to get those wins.
Well, and it's like not Tampa just the Bay. Bad teams. Like, I would say, show me how many. I mean, first of all.
No.
Okay. Now I just got you a little sarcasm.
Taysom Hill's not the guy. But Taysom Hill, if we went into a season with Taysom Hill, I think we could be a relevant team like we are now. We could be in the conversation for the playoffs. We're going to win games. He's not my guy. I want Jameis Winston. I want the 5,000 yard passing that he's going to end up doing next year. I don't want Taysom as the guy, but I'm going to defend him. He's what more do you want your tight end, running back, wide receiver to come in and play quarterback?
And I agree. And you're defending him against people who aren't even arguing with you. But when I refuse to accept that. And I know it's a narrative in NFL, but I refuse to accept that winning games is solely a quarterback stat.
Yeah. Just to be clear for everybody, I do not think that wins are a quarterback
stat.
I thought
you had said that before. So
I've
like
been defending
Drew
Brees for a decade and a half. And the argument was always, well, Tom Brady wins more or Aaron Rodgers wins more. Those aren't quarterback stats. You know, right. You can be a leader and that can help, but if your defense gives up 45 points and you only scored 42, the quarterback didn't lose.
Well, you mentioned that earlier with Drew Brees. And then the same thing goes with Hill right now is that, I mean, listen, you can talk about wins and losses, but if you turn on the tape and watch this game, the offense scored 9 points. Is it all his fault? No, it's not. I mean, you know, you still have the struggles with wide receiver. You have no offensive line, and it's tough. But when you look at it, you say all they had to do was score another touchdown, one slip, one, and then all of a sudden, you know, you lost. And is that fair to Taysom Hill? He didn't really play any
and
different.
And that's what's going to defend him through any of these arguments is that he hasn't played with anybody. You know, he hasn't played with a full offensive line. He hasn't played with weapons. So everyone's saying, well, yeah, Taysom Hill wasn't very good, and we scored 9 points in that game. But who was he throwing to, and who was blocking for him? There's always going to be that caveat
of we haven't seen
the team together.
I agree with that because there's always going to be people. But I would make the argument that a lot of the things you see that he's doing poorly now is stuff he was doing poorly last year, is the stuff he did poorly in the preseason. So, now in order to make my point, I'm kind of beating Taysom up when I was trying to give him credit for saying, look, I don't think he's a quarterback. I don't think he's an NFL caliber starting quarterback. But, I mean, what more could you ask for and what more could you want? Somebody very wise and intelligent said that, and I can't remember where it came from. But the fact of the matter is you have a guy that's a playmaker. It would be essentially, let's just kind of, just to make the point, it'd be like essentially if Kamara could come in and do what Taysom Hill's doing. So it'd be like, hey, when he's not helping us at quarterback and doing okay and making plays and, you know, not lighting the world up, he's playing running back and having a really effective game. I mean, the point is there is nobody else who can do that, who can say when I'm not just holding a clipboard and have no other value except when I go in the game, I'm actually producing. And when I come in, I'm actually kind of a dynamic, while I have my shortcomings, I don't want to lose sight of that. I'm actually a dynamic guy that's pretty tough and can make plays that a lot of people can't make, even if I'm not that consistent. Is maybe that's the best way to put it. Dell, I'm leaving you out of here. Same question, and I feel like we already argued it to death. Would you agree with this? Would you take Winston over Mayfield?
Absolutely. I did see that Baker is going to be getting surgery now, so he won't play in the last game. So I guess it's less tape for me to criticize.
Okay. There's plenty of tape out there to criticize.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah, for sure. But yeah. I'm definitely taking Jameis 7 days a week over Baker. Not even close, man.
Okay. What, throw Hill in there. Now what?
For this team. Yes. Yeah. I'm absolutely taking Hill right now because like we literally don't have anything at wide receiver. So I want somebody else out there.
So it sounds like you're saying to me that Taysom Hill under some circumstances would be a better quarterback in these conditions than per se a better quarterback, like a guy who's a more prolific passer.
Exactly.
Wow, that, interesting take. I like that. Mm-hmm. I like it. Craig, are you there, Craig? Yeah, okay. He's still there. All right. I'm going to – we talked about San Francisco, and San Francisco has to find a way, or the Rams have to find a way to beat their 4-point favorite in LA. San Francisco comes to town. San Francisco has beaten them 5 times in a row. And just a cursory view of those last 5 games, I tried to find something just to poke some holes in it. Like, for instance, oh man, the Rams had a top seed locked up and they didn't play their starters in week 17 last year or the year before. And it was the middle of the season and they beat them in high scoring games. They beat them in low scoring games. And again, I'm sure I could go break it all down and find something if I wanted to, but just looking at just reviewing it real quick, they seem to be decently legitimate. Matter of fact, correct me if I'm wrong. What year was it? Was it last year that the 49ers were just decimated? I mean, Bosa was out, their left tackle was out, their quarterback. They were just decimated with injuries. And either way, they won that game because it was either in 20 or it was in 19, and they won all those games in those years. So the way the Rams are built, they're basically their Tampa Bay. So, Dale, any thoughts or insight about this game coming up?
Well, I was trying to look at the stats from the last game. I see Stafford threw like 2 interceptions. They got down early, like 14-0. So that's probably what ended up happening with these interceptions and stuff like that. They couldn't run the ball. So The Rams look pretty bad this last game.
I heard, Craig, and again, I'm not going to pretend that I watch so much Rams football, but the 49ers, I pay more attention. I don't know what it is about the Rams. I just don't like them, and I don't really pay that much attention to them. The 49ers are a tough team. And this isn't my opinion, but it was somebody, I think, on the NFL Network, and you know how I am with remember people's names. They kind of pointed out the Rams really aren't that tough of a team. So when they go up against teams that are like hardcore, hard-nosed, tough football teams like the 49ers, they struggle. And it seems to be the case because that's exactly what the 49ers are.
Yeah, the same kind of argument was made against a lot of those Saints teams when we were in those high-flying domes days. They were saying, okay, yeah, they're fast and they're explosive, but you really punch them in the mouth and you can mess them up. I don't know the Rams are that far. Their offense certainly is. They have a lot of maybe finesse is the right way to say it. A lot of their offense is based on a lot of real big plays, explosiveness. They're not great at just grinding down and hitting you in the mouth. Their defense is excellent. I don't know that anyone can make an argument any other way. I mean, anyone playing behind Aaron Donald is going to have a good defense. And you throw in guys like Ramsey, their defense is legit. However, they have an offense that is prone to, like you said, you punch them in the mouth. They can make mistakes. Those mistakes can benefit your team. I think some really smart guy on this show earlier today even said that the Rams can lose any game at any time.
Sound like a smart guy. All right. One of the things I'd like to point out is our fantasy league. Dale, because Craig's a huge fantasy guy.
Yeah,
I
know.
How'd you end up doing in your championship game?
Man, I won one of the games and I lost the other game. So
you see, yeah, 50-50. I don't get that. I only play in one fantasy league because to me, it seems kind of, the reason I play fantasy is because it keeps me interested in all the games. But when I'm pulling for a guy in this league, but pulling against him in that league, so I only do one. And this year, I think it may have been my second year with Dome Patrol guys. And I listened to their show this week, and I didn't hear any mention of how I won the championship this past week. It's funny. I don't know when the ceremony is going to be. I'm not exactly sure when if there's a parade or something, but
there
I'm sure that
parade. When you win the championship, they're the parade.
At any moment, I expect, you know, just to get a text message or something saying, Dave, you know, hey, the trophy ceremony is sometimes, and give me a date so I can make sure I clear my calendar. Right. But I haven't heard that yet. So I just want to thank those guys in advance, you know, for allowing me to participate and winning this championship and thank all the people that helped me make it happen. You know, I want to thank my mom in particular. She's instrumental in guiding me in life. And
it's important, man.
Yeah. All those things are important. So anyway, it's fun, man. It's fun playing with those guys. They're funny and good bunch of guys. So it was fun, but got my big W, won that championship. Okay.
It's more fun when you win, man.
Yeah, I mean, everything's more fun when you win. Just ask the Saints, right? All right. So Craig, any final thoughts, subjects you want to cover that we didn't really cover? Go ahead, and this is your moment.
I look forward every season to Falcon Hate Week. This one is a little bit extra spicy, a little extra pinch of something on this one because it matters. I mean, they're done, right? They don't have a chance at anything. So it's really just their chance to ruin our season and our chance to, you know, we can really just remind them that they're the little brothers in this relationship.
So do you think they're always going to be? You're just rubbing it in, aren't you? Do you think they pack it in? Do you think that they're going to come to play?
Absolutely not. I think they give us absolutely everything they have left. I mean, it's one of those situations. There is no love lost between these teams. They have not been super friendly. They're not going to be super friendly. And I hope they try to punch us in the mouth because we punch harder.
Yeah, I like your attitude. Dale, any thoughts on the Atlanta game?
I hate Atlanta. Roddy White, if you're listening, I hate you.
There's so much predictability in you too, man. I swear.
Yes, we have to beat Atlanta, beat the Falcons 28-3, all that kind of stuff. Let's beat them, baby.
Oh, not to mention tonight, Tuesday night, LSU's junior varsity team is going to be playing in a bowl game. So I remember that because Dale has his LSU jersey or hoodie on right now.
Yeah, and right now the basketball team is on, and we're currently up 8-3 over Kentucky. So,
oh Lord, that's a big game too.
That's a big game.
LSU's come out kind of hot so far, and then they ran into an actual good team and got whooped a little bit. And I think they have to kind of get it together, and they're going to get tested tonight with Kentucky, who always has a good ball team, squad. We're
about to get on the map squad now. Ball.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Anyway, I guess that's all the show that we have for you guys this week. So for Heath Elson-San, Craig Wright, Dale Mims, and the Godfather Tomas Mauricio, and all the great shows over at the Dome Patrol Network, our buddies, thank them for being there to help me through this fantasy football scene. You get a variety of shows all on one feed, the Dome Patrol main show, Tiger's Den with Scott Greenbaum, Taking the Over with Billy Gunn, Premier League with Ben and James. I'm Dave Romero. You've been listening to the BS and Beer podcast, and we will see you next week on our way to the playoffs.
And anyway, the person who sits here is but the most conspicuous member of a superb team of journalists, writers, reporters, editors, producers, and none of that will change. Furthermore, I'm not going away. I'll be back, and that's the way it is.
Oh, boy, don't waste time to tune into our podcast. Oh, go give your time to David, Heath, and Tomas. We do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss, we do this every week, every Wednesday. So don't miss. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Ooh. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. We have a lot of fun. I love this podcast. Ooh. Oh, boy, don't waste time.